lines to other people's plays. He may have reworked old plays to make them seem new. Will also had a very naughty sense of humor. He may have thought up jokes to make the audience laugh. A different play was performed each afternoon. New plays were rehearsed every morning. Will was hardworking, smart, and versatile. Soon, he would be famous. Chapter 4. Upstart Crow. By 1592, Will was the hottest playwright in London. Although Will always kept on acting, his writing made him a star. That year, Robert Greene, a university wit, wrote that Will was an upstart crow. By that, Greene meant that Shakespeare was a common sort of fellow, somebody who liked making a lot of noise. It was not a very kind or accurate description, but it is the first record we have of Will since 1587. If anything, William Shakespeare is even more famous now than then. No one can say for sure exactly how many plays he wrote, or in what order. Many plays that were once said to be his later turned out to be written by someone else. Most scholars believe he wrote 38 plays. The Two Gentlemen of Verona is thought to be his first. Set in Italy, the story is about the adventures of two friends traveling through the countryside. The play is well written, but very simple, especially compared to his later plays. It was not performed much during his life. That's probably because audiences didn't like it. In the theater, the audience was the ultimate measure of success. Will quickly moved on to plays that people did like. In 1588, the King of Spain had sent a fleet of ships to fight the English. But Spain was defeated. People in England were proud of their victory. While most of the playwrights were busy writing about ancient Greece and Rome, Will wrote a series of plays about English kings and English wars. This was very new, very daring. London went wild. Written in 1591 and 1592, Henry VI, Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3, was set in the 1400s, during the War of the Roses. This war was fought between two powerful and rich English families, the Lancasters and the Yorks. Each family wanted to rule England. Will's plays about English kings were full of battle scenes and action. But he also made audiences think about what power does to people and why wars start. He did so by looking at what had happened in his very own country. The plays did not take place in a distant time or far-off place. Why was this such a bold thing to do? In these plays, kings were treated as people, not godlike, all-powerful rulers. What if Queen Elizabeth took offense? More than a few people who displeased the Queen ended up with their heads decorating London Bridge. But the plays were a smashing success. In Richard III, Shakespeare went even further. He wrote about an English ruler who was evil through and through. So evil that he killed his own brother and young nephews in order to become king. Yet the wicked, hunchbacked Richard III was one of Will's first great characters. Why? Wicked as he is, Richard seems very human. By the time the play is over, Shakespeare actually makes the audience feel sorry for him. In the last act of the play, Richard has lost everything. He has even lost his mind. He thinks he is in the middle of a terrible battle, with no horse and no way to escape. He runs around the stage shouting, a horse, my kingdom for a horse. King Richard sees how much bloodshed he has caused, and it is too much for him to bear. He wants to escape from the nightmare he has created. Now he is even willing to give up his kingdom to do so. Shakespeare's characters are what make his plays so interesting. Some are mostly evil, with a kernel of good or regret in them. Others are mostly good, but with a flaw in their personalities that leads them to ruin their own lives and the lives of those they love. He was the first to make characters as complicated as real people. After watching one of his plays, the audience would leave thinking about why people do the things they do. His plays were popular because he also appealed to popular taste. He understood what entertained people. Titus Andronicus is a bloodthirsty story about ancient Rome. The action is a lot like that in modern war movies. One side, the Romans, are good guys. Their enemies, the Goths, are bad guys. But as the story moves forward, we see good and bad in both sides. War is not simple. By the end of the play, almost every character is dead. Titus has gone mad. He serves his archenemy a pie made of the blood and bones of her sons. Titus Andronicus is not considered one of Shakespeare's great plays, but London audiences ate it up. Many of Will's plays are funny, and Londoners loved to have a good laugh. In one of his first comedies, The Taming of the Shrew, Will explored another kind of war. Petruchio, a fortune hunter, marries a rich woman named Kate. She is a shrew, sharp-tongued and hot-tempered. Kate has a mind of her own, and she speaks it. She is strong, stubborn, and intelligent. She can also be cruel. Petruchio doesn't care. He is confident he can tame her and turn her into a model wife. Petruchio comes to his wedding in rags. He drags Kate away to his home during the wedding party. He won't let her sleep or eat.